Amen.
Bless you, brother. Love you.
Mary, he offered you. Singing unto him now. Oh, Lord, prepare me to be your sanctuary, pure and holy, he tried and true, with thanksgiving, amen, I'll be your living sanctuary. For you. Amen. Be the sanctuary for the Lord. Yeah, good to be in the house of the Lord. If you'd like to turn in your Bibles, turn back where we've been reading in Revelation 5. And then we'll read Matthew 5. Revelation 5, Matthew 5. Just remember the announcements that have been made that, the Lord willing, if you want to go with us, we're going down to Brother Eugene Collins's this coming Saturday to have services with him. And it starts at 7 or 7:30. I don't know for certain. It'll take about 2 hours to get there at least, and we'll probably wind up going to eat. So, you know, we can stop in Washington and eat and, have a fellowship. There is Zaxby's and the McDonald's and things right there, right where we would be turning if we want to go that way. Yeah, we'll take the church van and everything. If you want to go, let us know. And just be at Wade's house at, if we have to be there at 7 and need to leave at 4. Yeah, if you want to spend a night with us up here, let us know. Brother Ernie Villanueva will be with us then, going with us to the meeting, and will be with us preaching on the 24th. And then Brother Jewel Forney will be with us on Wednesday following. So just remember these, let the Lord with. If you want to go, let us know. Be glad for you to go along and everything. We'll have a good time fellowshipping. And we can stop in Washington there, but we'll leave probably by 4 o'clock. That'll give 3 hours to make sure we got enough time and then eat on the way. All right? So if you want to go with us, let us know. And be glad for you to go. Not because I'm going to preach, because we're going to probably let Brother Ernie do a good bit of testimony. I told Brother Collins that I would just cut my services short and let him testify, and things. So we'll see about that, how it goes. Okay? Yeah. Good to see everybody. Remember the announcements and just pray one for another. Father, we thank you for your love and your grace unto us. We thank you for the day that we live, the hour that we have upon this earth. And Lord, thank you most of all for the message you have given unto us. Because, Father, with it, then we can stand and say and talk about who we are. Then we can see for a surety that before the world, you had all of this in your mind. So just have your way now, Lord, and just direct us, keep us, forgive our sins. When we fail you, Father, you forgive us because we want to walk in you. And just let your light shine in each one in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew 5. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within, and on the backside sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the 7 seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the 4 beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the 4 beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood, and out of every kindred and tongue and people, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. All right, go to Matthew 5. Now remember what Wade was bringing out the other week, real good. Notice who was saying that in the 10th verse. Hath made us. That's someone proclaiming what God says. All right. So now this is a very familiar with all scripture with all of us that everybody's always argued about. Matthew 5:48. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. You may be seated. The Lord have had his blessing to the reading of the word. And we're going to continue the thought and just make this number two on the doings, because we had the title this morning of searching the book or searching the deed, you know. And now we want to just try to continue the thought and maybe try to bring it to a climax this afternoon. All right. Now, what was we talking about this morning? That searching the book. What book are we talking about? The Bible. The Bible is the book that is in the hand of the one sitting on the throne. I say it over and over and over to keep people from running into the carnality of thinking you're saying something wrong. We're not talking about a book in the hand of the one sitting on the throne as being a Scofield, Thompson Chain, King James Version, you know, a New English Version, etc., etc. And I do believe the King James Version would be the very one if you're going to have one at all. Because I believe it is the one that God foreordained for us to have. Even though they argue about its origin and the things about it, it was the one the prophet used and the one that God vindicated that he was reading from. All right? So I believe that. But it's not a book like a book. It's not a book there. All right? Now, I'm going to make a statement, so now I want you to listen. The Lamb that's sitting on the throne has seven horns and seven eyes, right? That's in bride form. I told you, and to get the point now. If it's in bride form, why don't we believe the book is the bride? You know, it's the record of you. The Bible is the record, the natural Bible we read, is the record of mankind upon the earth, right? Showing you what the bad is, showing you where the wrong was, showing you how we failed, showing you all the things. But it also shows you eternal life. Right? It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. What was the book that Adam lost? Not a Bible as we read it today and call it the Bible. Adam lost the right of redemption. He had the names of the people who would have come into the world. Because it was a book, sure. Because it went back to the one who gave it. See, Satan couldn't take it. So what kind of a book is it? It's a book of the record of the names of the people upon the earth that are the redeemed. Alright? And see, that book then, as it's in the hand of the one on the throne, the bride that's there, and that lamb that takes the book. That lamb has seven horns and seven eyes. It's the bride. He said, well, how does the bride take the book? See, you still got your natural thinking. Why don't you go back and get you a lamb and be like the prophet had to bring it out in the seal book? And when I first read that, I really chuckled because of the thinking of Brother Branham. Brother Branham said, in other words, he probably thought, I better make this good. You know. Because he said, now that wasn't a lamb. That wasn't a lamb. He said, see, because it took the book. You know, I mean, what's he saying? I bet you know, if you really were there, I wonder if he was really chuckling, said, I'm going to lay this down hard. It wasn't a lamb because it had been a sloppy looking book. You know, after the lamb got his mouth on it and it all slobbered all over it, it would have been a mess. So, you know, he says, now, it's not a lamb because he took the book. See? And the he there is a she. The bride. Or bride form. A lamb with seven horns and seven eyes. Well, why can't you see that what we're trying to do now is like we did this morning? What was it? Revelations 1. went in the midst of seven golden candlesticks, like unto the Son of Man, girded about the pouch with a golden girdle. Bride form. Feminis, bride form. Right. Turned to see the voice and saw the bride. Right. Chapter 4, went on the throne. What? How do you get on the throne? That's the Father's throne. Chapter 5, book in the hand of the one sitting on the throne. It's the continual unfolding of the revelation of Jesus Christ. And then the Lamb comes forth to take the book. And the prophet said, 74, Christ's a mystery. The bride is part of the mystery and must be revealed. See, the book of Revelation is dedicated, listen, especially to the church. To show not just the revelation, I gave you the quote. This is not just the revelation of Jesus Christ, but it's the revelation of Jesus Christ, the prophet said, and His future work in the church. And nowhere in the book of Revelation do you see Him by Himself. Come on. Matter of fact, I'll just make it plain enough where you can understand all of it. From the very fact of Him standing on earth, from that day He left this earth, you don't see anymore the corporal body of Jesus Christ. You see it in bride form. Now, is that right? Show me one place that He stands on earth. He comes back to earth in the millennium. And when He does, we come with Him. We come with Him when He comes back. Alright? But see, it's the unfolding of one God. And see, you're a oneness if you stop only believing that you can see Jesus and that's the life form that God had. That's a oneness doctrine. But when you see it come over into bride form, the same that was in, now did the prophet say this? All God was, He pours into Christ. All Christ pours into the church. Alright? So then that means exactly what it's saying. The bride then, the prophet, I gave you the quotes, is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. The bride is the Son of Man, the Word made flesh, in the church, not in one person, but in the bride of Christ. And that's why she's shown in Revelation 5. Now when we get on over, I don't know how long we'll be on the seals, whatever, I don't know, we'll try to do that next. But when you do, remember, the Lamb that takes the book and looses the seals has got seven horns and seven eyes. Now listen, folks. I say this without backing up. If it ain't here now, there will come a time when you will not get nothing except from the bride. I believe that hour is pretty close. It may be here now. That you won't, they won't get anything out there. Oh yeah, they're going to church. Sure, they're having healings, signs and wonders, miracles are happening. Amen. Because it's all what God's doing. But you won't get into the Word unless you come to the bride. Because when the bride and Christ becomes one, you gotta go to the bride to get what you need. I thought we believed that the seed come through the body anyway. I thought Philip was the one who had the seed. You know. Went down there to the Ethiopian eunuch, see? I thought that that was what it was to be, that the bride was the seed, the Word. It's all coming together, church, to where we can see who we are. That's all I'm talking about. I mean, if I'm boring you, I'm sorry. You know, I mean, I'm sorry that I'm boring you talking about how nice you are and what God says about you. You know. Well, I wish you would just get on to something. I don't know of anything to get on to. You know. To talk about you. I do it very little, I admit. But my wife sure does like to hear me talk to her nice. Of course, a lot of you men probably don't never talk to your wife nice. But do you ever tell her how much you love her? Do you ever tell her how pretty she is?
Amen.
Maybe we need to... I said this a long time ago, and I mean it. I got ridiculed about the statement, but I'll make it again. When the women gets to acting like women, and the men gets to acting like men, we're going to be closer to the rapture than you think. Because as long as we're not acting like brothers and sisters in Christ, I'm talking about men and women now, brothers and sisters in Christ, as long as we're not acting like brothers and sisters in Christ, we've got a problem. And if you got a problem, God can't dwell in the household. Well, it's all her fault. Of course, that's the way the men feel, isn't it? But all the women said, all his fault. But after the day's over and all the fussing is done and the griping, what does it matter whose fault it is? You know. See, okay, I get off of that. I get on those things. You know, I don't never generally preach that away. When I get that away, I get... All right. But look. Searching the book. Now that's what we're talking about. Because when the seals are broke, it reveals Jesus Christ. Not the Antichrist. It reveals Jesus Christ. All right? If it reveals Jesus Christ, then what is it? Where is it revealing Him as being? See, there's the things that was not revealed to the disciples in the fullness. Sure, Paul and them knew, and sure, they quoted it. But to understand who we are must have been withholding. Because the prophet said it. When the bride realizes who she is, she'll be gone. Well, that's what I'm trying my best to get you to see. You know, I know that the way that I've always preached, I've tried to brag on the sisters. And I know that I offend you men. I know it. And I'm going to say it again. So just get offended. I have less trouble with the women than I do the men. You know, about preaching to them about the things. The men are the ones that forms the opinion and goes off, you know. Right. See, I say those things and then people say, well, Brother Dale, you just shouldn't talk like that. Well, I try to love you and do the best I can, but that's all right. But listen, how can you see the opening of the seals? The prophet said, we've got to search the book. All right? Now, we talked about this morning. When you get the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I gave you a quote there where the prophet said it, just one, you can find many of, where he said, the baptism of the Holy Ghost that came on the day of Pentecost was the abstract title deed to eternal life. Adam lost eternal life for human mankind and the world, right? All right. So when it was lost, Christ restored. Now, I gave you a bunch of quotes here. Where we read them all, I don't know. We'll go through part. What Adam lost, Christ has already restored. Right. All right. Now we go back to the quote in the breach. Where the prophet said, you'll differ with me here now. He said, because he's already redeemed us, but said he hasn't claimed possession yet. Right. He said, that will come at the time. What? Through the opening of the seals. Through the opening of the seals is to bring our claim into existence. Yeah. Like you get a natural deed to your property. And you look at it and you find the boundaries, the layouts, and what's on it, it describes it. But then you got to go back and pay for a search to be made. To make sure that's okay. I told you about our first home. That a man actually owned it, he could have taken away my home that I had held up. I had a home held up in Gillsville, had it all dried in, everything done. He could have taken it from me because he had a deed. The man had put it up against a debt. All right, I thought I had the deed because I had the deed the man gave to me that was signed on the back. But you see, the abstract title deed is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's for your soul. And that laid claim on that body you're living in. And everyone that's ever received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, their body is claimed. Alright? But yet, there was no way to search it back. We didn't understand how to search it back. We were only trying to see what it was for the soul. And then that way, organized religion developed a form of preaching that we're going to get a new body because they didn't know anything about anything of redemption of this. Now, is that true? That's not throwing off on nobody. That's telling what to believe. You know. I mean, if I tell you a man believes so-and-so, and that's what he believes, am I throwing off on him? No, I'm not against organized religion. I'm against the system of it. All right, but they've got a deed. And they can claim a lot of things. But the abstract is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Do you understand? All right. Now then, how are you going to search the book to see if there's anything against you? How are you going to search the book? And I told you this morning, and I hope you would agree to it, but I'll try to illustrate it again. The most of the things that we do is we search the Bible to try to find out how bad we are or where we went wrong. Right? I mean, we spend most of the time reading about our faults and trying to relate to something with somebody else. When I told you when I started this series, 50 sermons ago, that the very key to understand, or somewhere thereabout, the key to understand God and His ways in the book of Revelation was that He showed the bride already in glory, chapter 1, shows her already at the white throne, sitting with Him, shows her so beautiful, decked out, until He's in the midst of her, like unto the Son of Man, Revelation 1, 12 and 13. Before He ever goes into the church ages to describe anything upon the earth. The church ages are the description of what is happening upon the earth. But He showed us already perfect. We have come up to a basis that used to be argued, you know. Oh, Matthew 5:48, be therefore perfect. How can we be perfect? See, we've come up to be able to argue a point. How many of you got a Scofield Bible? Turn over there. And let's see what even the man Scofield knew. All right. He pays 1001. Matthew 5:48. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. All right. Look at the bottom line of your Scofield Bible and see what Scofield knew. The word implies full development. Now the word perfect. When it said, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. See, we argued, oh, ain't none of us can be perfect. You ain't perfect, and I ain't perfect. You think you perfect? That's been argued all up and down. I am what God made me. See, Scofield knew that it wasn't talking about perfection as the human element. I mean, it wasn't perfection of a human element to try to be perfect and be something we are. Look what he says. The word implies full development, growth into maturity of godliness, not sinless perfection. It doesn't even refer to sinless perfection. See Ephesians 4:12-13. In this passage, the Father's kindness, listen, not His sinlessness, is in the point. God's kindness is what you're talking about. The completion of an individual, growth, development, stature of a perfect man. Perfect doesn't mean sinless perfection. Perfect means growth, development, maturity. Not talking about how good you are. It's talking about what God has made you. Because He's imparted His nature unto you to bring you to the position. So as I said this morning now, what do? We study the Bible to try to find out how wrong we are. And if we can find out, okay, I found out here, I repent of that. Don't you worry about it. There's more pages in here. Every time you ever find out what you've done wrong, now see if you agree. And it's wonderful to find out you've done wrong. Because you can repent. But as quick as you find out you're wrong and you repent, you feel good, right? How do you feel the next day? Because the devil's done told you something else you done wrong. Is that right? We're not playing around. This is a serious matter. It's not promised you a Christian life to be whether you don't have any troubles or not. If it is, why did Jesus Christ have to die? But listen, we spend most of our time looking through the Bible to find out what we've done wrong, instead of reading the Bible to see what God says we are. Now, the psalmist David said it one time like this, that it is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. So when are we going to start saying what God says about us? You remember the story of the little donkey with the ears, you know? And he said, Mama, said that priest, that when he sees me, that he's going to kill me because I'm so ugly. She said, but honey, he's not looking at you. He's looking at your sacrifice.
Amen.
God is not looking at you and I. If he's looking at you and I, he'd have to destroy us. I don't care how goody-goody you think you are or ever have been. You want to brag about things? Paul one day said, I'm a Pharisee of the Pharisee. I can brag a little bit. I never drank. I never had any problems with them things. I can brag about a lot of things. But you know what? None of that saved me. You can't get good enough to be saved. Brother Brown said, I'd hate to come into the world and think that I was born, I'm quoting out of the Hebrew book, 5 minutes ago, and think I was having to go to heaven on something I'd done. Now, how much could a baby do in 5 minutes? But it was born in sin, shaping in iniquity. It couldn't talk, but it was already a liar. Of course, you don't like it if somebody looked down at your baby and said, that little liar. But you just give it a little while. It'll prove it is. Right? But now listen. The opening of the seals to me is not just something of rip it off and see the devil or rip it off and see this. If we really take the book of Revelation, take the seals and things, as I said this morning, the book of Revelation is what has the Bible sealed. So we take the Bible and we look at it as what God has said, not what we think we are. You say, yeah, but now, Brother Dale, you're fixing to go into disgrace. Don't worry about it. I like what Brother Moat said years ago. He said, you can't go no further into disgrace than you already are when you're a legalist. You're just a good human being if you ain't done wrong. I'm not justifying doing wrong or saying go out and do wrong and then be saved. No, no, no. Don't worry about it. It'll take care of itself. Because you will do it. And see, we say, well, if I'm so saved, then I can do anything I want to. That proves you're not saved. Well, Paul said, it's not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. The life that I now live in the flesh, he said, I live by the faith of the Son of God. So then quit trying to search the book to find out how bad you are. Come and ask me, I'll tell you. I'll save you the trouble. I'll tell you another way, just ask your wife. I didn't get but one right out of that one. Got a few grins. You just go ask your wife how bad you are. Go ask your husband how bad you are, girls. He'll tell you. Because he'll tell you all your faults and failures. We're good at that. The one thing we're real good at is we're real good at something. You say, and your wife says to you, honey, you done a little something wrong there. Well, you done wrong too. That don't solve what I done. That don't solve what I done. But that's the way we do. All right, get on. But listen, to search the book is to go through the book and find out what the book has to say about you in the correct way. Now that's searching the book. Not to see how bad I am, I don't have to worry about that. But to see what God says about me. Right? Now as I said this morning, show me one time where Jesus condemned a sinner. He went to eat with them. He fellowshiped with them. Looked like a bad egg, didn't he? What would you have thought about Jesus if you'd seen him there with all? You remember the story Brother Brown was illustrating about Jesus when he was talking about the little woman at the well, and the disciples come back and they stopped and they heard him talking. I mean, our master's talking to a prostitute. Well, you know the Bible said he come to seek and save them that was lost. You know. But see, he says, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. The Bible is telling you who you are in Jesus Christ and what He has made you to be. That's the way to search the book. To read it from a different light of what we used to read it from. To try to find our faults and failures. Because I know one thing for a certainty, I believe you'll agree with this, the more that I find out from studying the Word of God to see what God has said about me, the more sin conscious I become of my own self. Is that the way you are? Are you less sin conscious today of your life or conscious of your everyday life than you was when you first heard of the Lord or whatever? No. No, I'm not. We're human, we make mistakes, that's true. We do that. And we will right up to the change. Right. But yet, those mistakes don't save me. Now, what happened under the blood of bulls and goats? There was no way that that life of that animal could come back into the person that was making the atonement. Right? We talk about that, but do we really realize what that's saying? All that animal could do was to cover. And because God had made the atonement Himself, man didn't make, Adam didn't make the atonement in the garden. God killed the first animal. You say, my God, don't do this. Your Bible, you better read it. God skinned those animals, pulled that skin off those animals, and it was bloody skin, so he must have been pretty bloody when he got through. Oh, he just spoke it off. Everybody got it off, it come off. And it come off bloody because the prophet said, die they was with that bloody skin flopping on their legs as they went out of the garden. But you see, we just don't really comprehend what the prophet is trying to say. That when you look at red through red, you see white. Now if you look through the blood of Jesus Christ, and you and I as sinners, it turns out white, right? How much more is it to look through the white of God, you know what I'm saying? The purity, to see what He's made us pure. He has imparted unto us His own life. You say, well, that's only in the soul. That's only in the soul. All right, as long as you stay that way, you're going towards the grave, so have fun. But if you want to talk about redemption, we've got to come to the place to be able to say what I just said, what Paul said. The life that I now live in the flesh. He didn't have no problem saying that, did he? I live by the faith of the Son of God. Paul, you ever done any wrong? I do wrong every day. But I repent. See, God got tired of that blood offering. Because it's what He said, sacrifice and offerings I would us not, but a body Thou hast prepared me. He came down in human flesh to do what we could not do. He came down in human flesh to make us perfect that would believe in what he had. Because I've never believed, even when I was in the Baptist, I didn't believe that everybody that took a lamb up and throwed it down on the altar and had it killed went away with their sins gone. I didn't believe that in the Baptist. I don't believe it today. Oh yeah, no. You're missing the whole thing. You see, don't get on the atonement like that. The atonement for that was before the foundation of the world. The atonement that covered for sin to keep us from being killed was before the world. And get down to the everyday living. If you went up there haphazardly and throw that down, you wasn't forgiven. That's why God would call David the apple of his eye. Because David had a repentant heart. But he had nothing to be able to take the desire out of his soul, so he went after the lust of his flesh. But yet he was so repentant and so honorable a man until he would not touch the body of Saul when he had every right in the world to slit Saul's throat because Saul was trying his best to kill David. And any other fella in the world would have had a lot of problems with David, don't you agree? But no, he couldn't touch the God anointed. Why? Because he knew what God had done. God anointed Saul. But listen. Alright? See, David, a murderer and everything. But the Bible says he's an apple of my eye. Israel and all they've done, yet God says, I see no problems. I don't see anything. Brother Brown said there's a bumper blood still to this day around this world that covers for all the mistakes we make in life. You remember when he went behind the door and he was trying to condemn the people so much there in the cafe? And God told him to step behind the door. I'd like to talk to you. When he did, he showed him his life. All right? See, when you get up to that self-righteous point, be careful. You say, Brother Brown was self-righteous. It must have been something wrong because God had a talk with him. Now, I'll remind you the only thing wrong with Job. Job got a little bit too high. I'm paraphrasing, but that's what Brother Brown said. I've got it written in my Bible. I can find it. That Job got to the point he thought just a little bit too much of Job. He said God had to show him that he wasn't righteous. He had to depend upon the atonement. See, those seals, when they rip off the book, they begin to search back through the book to see if there's any capability of this human being. Because the seals is the whole plan of redemption, which reveals the redemption for the body, spirit, soul, world. Amen. We believe that. But this was the end time when the message would come to show the redemption of the body. But there's only one way the body can be redeemed. The soul has to be redeemed first. Then the stature of a perfect man works on the from the inside outwardly to try to bring outwardly what's inside. But then we got to find some things to be able to cleanse us. Right? We can quote a lot, but do we believe it? The prophet said everything Adam lost, the second Adam, Christ redeemed. Because he took our place. But now think about it. Who, as I said this morning, was any man in the Bible that would have been in any form whatsoever worthy to take the book or to loose the seals or anything? Who would have in the Bible would have tried to have ever come to a point of saying how perfect they were? Because there was nobody perfect. So let's get away from trying to find ourselves and how bad we are and get down to what God says about us. You had to believe they said in that atonement or it didn't work. You've got to believe in it today. Christ took my place. I deserve to go to hell. What about you? But he took my place that I don't have to go. We like to quote like that. But when we start talking about how perfect we are, well, I guess you could say in a way that might be, you know. Now, Brother Branham, on this scripture, I gave it to you there at the last of the things. These are on the internet, and you read your quotes when you get a chance to. We get time, we'll read them. He put it like this, that when Jesus said, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect," he said, God required that we be perfect. And he said, how could the human mortal ever think about coming to a state of perfection? See, we're so spiritually minded now. That's talking about growth development. But just remember, you can't have a growth development of a baby till you get the baby here. So you got to get the new birth. Alright? But see, we're quick to quote things to try to show how smart we are. That'll do no good. I'm not dependent upon anything I've done or didn't do. I'm dependent upon what Jesus Christ says. That's all I can depend on. Well, I done this and I done that. That's all right with me. You do what you want to. I can depend upon one thing. What God said, I accept. If He says I'm perfect, I've got to say what He says. Bumper sticker, and everybody looks at it and thinks it sounds good. I'm not perfect, I'm just saved. Well, my Lord, that's what I thought being perfect was being saved. That don't influence me. I thought that's what it took. Will you agree that by the new birth, your soul is perfect? You agree with that? Well, see, how are we going to search the deed to find out the body? Okay. Find out the body. Let me just read a couple. You know, we all talk about the missing link. You ever heard what Brother Brown said about the missing link? You think it's a monkey, don't you? The beast. Look what he says on an angel's commission, 1947, 1102, Christian Phoenix. He was the first one who had the jurisdiction over everything in the earth. Is that right? Now he's talking about Adam. No, right? Over all the animals. And he lost his power. And we're taught in the Bible what the first Adam lost, the second Adam Christ restored again to the human race. Then friends, if that's so, ministers, what's the matter with the church today? That's what I want to know. If Christ was the missing link between God and man, and he's come to hook God and man together again, what is the matter today? It's because of unbelief. And you'll start something and you'll see a little something pretty soon. You'll say, oh well, let it go. It wasn't of God. All things work together for good to them that love God. Now he talked about the missing link between God and man. Not the missing link between man and the monkey. Look at the next one, led by the Spirit. It's 1950, 3 years later, 714. Now we realize that everyone knows there is spirits. And if there are spirits, there's bound to be a master of that spirit because it changes the nature of sinners into Christians. And there's bound to be a master or head there somewhere, and that's God. And he sent his Son on earth, made in the likeness of sinful flesh, and he died that we might be redeemed and brought back to God to be sons and daughters of God, to walk with him, that missing link from the Garden of Eden, what Adam lost, Christ restored again. The missing link, not between man and the monkey. He ain't concerned about that. He's concerned about the missing link between God and man. And Christ restored that. Christ restored that missing link. See? Look on down. Fundamental foundation for faith. And down to the last paragraph. Now when man fell, he lost this. And now what he lost in the fall, Christ comes as a redeemer. Did you ever stop to think about Christ redeemed? What Christ redeemed us for? He gave us everlasting life. He brought us back to eternal fellowship in relationship to God to be his sons and daughters, to restore back all that Adam lost in the fall. Adam lost it. Let's see, this is one I want to read, and then you can read the rest of it. It's actually the next paragraph, the same message, fundamental foundation. Now the thing of it is, since he has restored man back to this space, man in the fall has lost his consciousness of what God put him here on earth to do. In other words, all the plumbing, as it was, in our brain and the outlets, the faith, has been clogged up with business affair, with home life, domestic things. It's all become so clogged up with that until God can't operate through these channels that he made a man for. Now listen, I gave you a lot of quotes. Go on down through our reading. That all Adam lost, Christ has redeemed. Said, proving that Jesus Christ could stop the storms, change nature, raise the dead, right? But Brother Dale, have Jesus Christ. Well, I thought you believed the prophet was used to raise the dead. Now we know it wasn't Brother Branham, come on. It was Jesus Christ in the prophet, but I thought Christ raised the dead in our day. I thought Christ stopped nature in our day. I thought this would be right what he said, and the world is groaning today. The Bible said, for the manifestation of the sons of God, for God to get into his children again in reality to make things real, and it stumbles the people. What is it? Because we're trying to search some way to find out something that will make us perfect. Now, did Adam make himself perfect? No, God made him that way. Amen. He didn't have anything to do with it. Amen. God made him like that. Well, why can't we believe what God has made us by the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Amen. Why can't we believe that by searching the book, that we can search back through the Bible and find out God is talking about us and how great we are? I wish you'd read the Bible again with that side of a light in your mind of thinking. And you'll find out the Bible's telling you who you are, not how bad you are. Well, then I'll just go do what I want to. Amen. Go do what you want to because it proves you're lost. Because we're supposed to be living the life of Christ. Could that be a problem? But searching the book back, had you never wondered? You read the rest of the quotes there, and then you read over the back of how Christ has made us so perfect, and read there how that he's required perfection, and we've reached that perfection. That how that if God required for us to be perfect, that he would make a way. And he has made the way. He made the way at Calvary to release the baptism of the Holy Ghost to make the soul by the new birth to a perfected state. He sent a message in the end time through a prophet to show us. How perfect God says we are. What do you think the message come to do? Oh, it comes to straighten us women out. I agree it come to straighten us out because it had to. Because God ain't no filthy Holy Ghost. That's the only part of the plan of redemption. The baptism of the Holy Ghost will take care of that. Now listen, bride. The prophet didn't have to go to Africa and preach to them women 6 months on the stature of a perfect man to get them to realize they're naked. One sermon, they folded their arms and walked out of the presence. And the prophet said, you women keep pulling more off. He said, you don't have to tell a woman but one time that it's wrong to wear pants. Now that's what he said. You said you believed him to be a prophet. Do you believe him? If you had the baptism of the Holy Ghost out in organized religion, some of you claim you did before you come into the message, why didn't it straighten you up out there? Well, they didn't preach good on them. I didn't drink. I didn't smoke. I didn't run around with women. I didn't have any of them problems. And I come through the Baptist church. Because what little bit of God I had was condemning me then for the things that I was doing. How come it didn't condemn you? You know why? Because you didn't let it. And your soft-soaked, baby-faced pastors wanted your money instead of telling you the truth. You mean to take you today away from the message and put you on a desert island by yourself? That you would revert back to your old ways of doing? I'll get off of it. You might as well forget it. You're not going to listen to it anyway. It ain't changed one person. You show me. One church, show me. I'll challenge you. I'll give you the pulpit next week. Or not next week, week after that. Show me one church, and you come up here and name it and bring the pastor, where they've ever preached on legalism and things like that and beat the women to death, never service, where it ever straightened anybody up. I'll come back to this pulpit and resign the next week. That's how strong I am on it. Because it has never worked. I've been there and seen them things. The women go to church. Oh, we just... And they just, boy, mate, no. I'm too old. Preaching the gospel is the only thing that's going to convert anybody. Not preaching do's and don'ts. If you got to preach do's and don'ts, you're preaching to foolish virgins. That's what a pastor, the last one I had beside Brother Moat, told me. We got to keep the foolish virgins lined up. I said, if you... That wasn't Brother Moat. I said, the one before. He said, we got to keep foolish virgin lined up. I said, if that's all you're doing, brother, you'll be a foolish virgin preacher. And I meant it, and I didn't back up from saying it, and I still don't today. When I got to preach every service on you women to get straightened up, what's wrong? But if I preach Jesus Christ to try to show you how good and great that God has made you, and that don't condemn you for cutting your hair, painting your face, then there ain't no God in heaven can condemn you of doing anything. Is that blunt enough? Oh, I just do a little bit. Forget it. Too late. We're supposed to be talking about a rapture. Searching the book to find out what God says about it. Then we could spend all afternoon talking about what the Bible says of how perfect we are. But you read it for yourself. As I said about David, the man that was a murderer and things, but God said he's the apple of my eye. Abraham lied, gave his wife away and everything else, but God said he staggered not. Do we believe that? Do we believe what God has said about us, or do we still believe what we think about ourselves? Which one is it? Now, I want to get down to something that'll really anchor it down, and then you'll see the point, and I'll quit. Why did God have to give a grace of marriage and divorce? Simple question. Why did God have to give the grace of marriage and divorce? And the grace of marriage and divorce is not an overall blanket that was just spread by the prophet. I've heard of some of you trying to go out and talk to denominational people and tell them about marriage and divorce. You can't do that. It's only for the bride. They can't receive it. Let them get into the message and find out what the message... The whole message is marriage and divorce. All you're doing is making a mockery out of the gospel. Because they'll go away justifying themselves and saying, well, we believe in the grace. You'll make it disgrace. But why did God have to give a grace for marriage and divorce? The Bible said all sin is without the body except fornication. That's the Bible. Except fornication. That is of the body. Why did God have to come down and give a grace? Because there wouldn't be no flesh saved. If he hadn't sent Malachi 4, what was it? No flesh saved. Why does it say that? Because it's the flesh is where the problem's at. Yeah, but Brother Dale, I accepted the grace of marriage and divorce, and then I went and done it again, then I was grace accepted again, I went and done it again, I accepted it. Now, I don't believe in that. Sorry. I believe there's one time. One time that you've got an application of grace like that. Sure, as humans, we do the wrong and we need grace every day. I hope you're on a miss. I hope you don't miss. Don't think I'm saying something wrong. But you see, there wouldn't have been a rapture. We'd have had to have a new body because this one couldn't make it. But God gave a grace. Well, Brother Dale, I never did have no problem with it. I didn't have no marital thing. You was married to Adam. You want to go back to 1967 or 8 where Brother Moat was preaching, are you married to Adam or Christ? You're married to organized religion. You need the grace. Have you ever thanked God for the grace of marriage and divorce to call you out of organized religion? Have you ever asked God to forgive you of being an organized religion and believing it? Not what the time you was there, but believing what they done. Brother Brown said, I carried a Baptist Bible and converted them to a Baptist faith. Now that's what he said about it. Don't you think he saw a glorious thing when he saw the grace of marriage and divorce? That he saw the opportunity for a husband and wife to be pure in God? A chance for a church bride to be so set free she could go off the church in a rapture? The grace. But have you ever accepted it? Well, I just come in the message. I didn't know you had to get down and... What do you do, Brother Dale? You get down and you ask God, God, is it me? No, don't worry about it. It is you. Don't ask God, is it me? It's already you. That's why when I preach marriage and divorce, I bring it to the line all the way. And you children, you girls and boys here, you have no excuse. You go out and do wrong, and you thought of you've done it after you was told. Now you know that. Because when I preach marriage and divorce, I go back to the fact you don't kiss, you don't do none of those things. And show you that a man can put you away. For allowing a man to touch your husband could put you away for allowing a man to touch you in the wrong place. I'll prove it with the Bible. And yet you don't listen. And you try to hide. I didn't do very much. See, if there wasn't the grace of marriage and divorce, there was none of us have been able to make it. I don't care how much you think how holy you are, you never was defiled. You was born defiled. Your body was defiled in the original. And there's got to be a way to make that perfect. And it's got to be on the basis of saying what God says. He told the prophet, he said, you go tell them people to go on as they are. Because they had been ways made right before. But you've got to ask God to forgive you. And you've got to realize you're wrong. Well, I wasn't wrong. It was my wife's fault. I've been through that too. A man withdraw his body from his wife and cause her to go do wrong. He's guilty of withdrawing the body. He's not free. Period. He's caused her to commit adultery. So he's just as guilty as she is. That's where it gets tough, don't it? You get a lot less amens. Even Brother Donnie's amens don't work. You know, you remember Brother Donnie Reagan shaking his head and said, that's amen, and really shake it hard. That really means amen, you know. Well, you get very few, even little bitty okays, you know. Get a few eyebrows raised, but that's about it. But have you ever asked God to forgive you? You know for one thing for sure, this pastor has never told you you had a blanket to crawl under here in this church. Something that I said would do you, no. You face God. I'm searching the book. That's where the problem's at, isn't it? We searched back through the book and found the trouble. What was the trouble? Marriage and divorce. Right? The trouble was marriage and divorce. That's what happened to Eve. Everybody said, oh, Eve just committed fornication. You better study a whole lot. She was already married to Adam. And she was married to Adam. And she was part of Adam. She committed adultery. No, they hadn't come together. That ain't got nothing to do with it. A girl promised a boy to marry and then goes off with somebody else. That's adultery. He said, oh no, it's fornication. Don't be so narrow-minded. The word adultery and fornication is the same word. Eve committed adultery. But what was that? Fornication. Why? Because what is fornication? Unclean living. What is adultery? Unclean living. But you see, if there hadn't have been a grace of marriage and divorce given, there's no way you and I would be able to stand. And that's why, listen, that's why most of the people in this message will never be able to stand and take the change in a moment, a twinkling of an eye. Because you ain't going to have a marriage and divorce problem and go into change in a moment, a twinkling of an eye. That group of people is going to be standing there knowing what's went on and what God has done for them. So if I was you, I'd get concerned. I'd get things straight. I'd accept what God has given me. And that one is pretty hard to accept because it's not one of those things. Yet, Lord, I know I done wrong. Forgive me. If I get a chance, I'll do it again. I really don't think I was that bad, but he said I was, so. Yeah. I'm going to ask you one question now to end it. I know the prophet never explained this, so don't worry about it. I'm trying to find it. I know I've searched for it to try to find an answer for what he made the statement that the Bible says. Because it's not actually written out in the Bible, it's in the records. Rahab the harlot. Right? She wound up courting an Israeli general and married him. Right? Out of there come the lineage of David. And from David come the lineage of Christ. The son of David. Earthly speaking, right? Now what happened with Rahab? We're searching the book. We got to find out how Rahab got it straightened up. So I told you. Come on. I'm telling you. You can go to sleep, do what you want to the rest of the service, because Brother Branham didn't say this. I'm telling you from what I see. Well, I don't care then, because what you say. Well, that's all right then. When we get to judgment, we'll find out where it's true or not. Then you'll have to be the one who'll have the problem. It won't be me, because I'm just trying my best to get you to see the truth. I only know of one way that Rahab could make that right. Can you tell me that way? A lot of you heard me preach it. Brother Harris shaking his head. He knows what I'm fixing to say. Because he's heard me preach it. Some of you might have slept through it and didn't understand what I said then. There's only one way that Rahab could have wound up free. That's why I believe in the grace of marriage and divorce the way I do, and believe in God. Now, I don't believe that Rahab and the Israeli general went to Moses and asked Moses, could they get married? Moses would have said, no. Number one, you're a Gentile. And we don't allow the marriage into the Israelis. Number two, you're a harlot. I don't believe that that took place, that they went and asked Moses. But I believe Rahab and that Israeli general got together and married and then realized there was something wrong. And they went to Moses. Because, quoting Brother Branham, Moses gave the grace of marriage and divorce. Now, is that in the marriage and divorce book? You want me to get it? Moses gave the grace of marriage and divorce. Now, Moses' grace of marriage and divorce had to be the same way that Brother Branham would explain marriage and divorce. Maybe some little natural part of it there because of the situation. Because Paul was given the grace in the book of Corinthians. Paul was a natural, but he had a spiritual one also. And Brother Branham come back in the last day to natural, spiritual, and everything. But when that Israeli general and Rahab went to Moses, they said, Moses, what can we do? He says, I knew that I shouldn't marry her. First off, she was a Gentile. Second off, she was a prostitute. And I wasn't allowed to marry her, but I did, and I'm sorry. And we're trying to straighten up. What should we do? Should we separate? Should we go our way? Moses went before God and gave the grace of marriage and divorce. Can you explain it any other way? I'll be glad to listen to you. See, the grace could be extended once you realize you need it. Now, I see around this message that the need for marriage and divorce to be preached more than anything in the world. Because if you don't realize that you need it, you won't ask God for it. And if you don't ask God for it and you need it, then you can't make a way for a change in a moment, a twinkle of an eye, I'm talking about. Not going to heaven. We're not talking about going to heaven. We're not talking about dying and going by the grave. We're not talking about that. We're talking about a change in a moment, a twinkle of an eye. That's why the prophet said, I doubt there'll be one out of each state. Is that what he said? Now, if there'd be a dozen out of this generation or something like that. Because you see, the one that stands there for that change is going to be standing there perfect. But the second before they're changed, they're going to be doing wrong. So you say, well, how could he be perfect if they're doing wrong? Because they're standing in the perfection of Jesus Christ, of what he has said. Brother Brown said he required perfection. It was left up to God to make a way that that could be done. He said, and he did. He came himself to make a way that we could be free. Listen, church, you can believe what you want to. I don't make Brother Branham God, and you know it. But how close did that get when that man stood out there on that mountain? And that pillar of fire come down. How close did it get when that man stood in that pulpit? When they even said to him later, said, Brother Branham, I'd make you God. He said, I was just there when he said it. But do you believe it? Do you believe it's for you? Then you can be made free. See, these bodies then can be made free. Because listen, I just searched back and found a worse condition you'd want to think of now. Because what happened in the garden is what defiled these bodies. Now what happened in the garden in Eve's mind is what polluted her soul, being of her, that made her needing salvation. But what happened in the literal act, that's why right now they can run it back in a DNA to prove whose daddy you have and I have. They can run a DNA all the way back to the Garden of Eden to show whether or not we are the children of the beast or we are the children of Adam. But see, I wouldn't care whatsoever if they run mine back and found out I was a direct descendant from the beast, through Cain, through everything it could be ever thought of. Because I believe what God says. He says I'm pure. He says I'm perfect. He says for me to say what he says. I thought we believed confession was to say what God said. But when are we going to start saying that God says we're perfect? But now see where the trouble is and where you're going to say it at. You're going to go down to the Baptist. Dick's going to go down to the... Well, Eaton's going to go to the morning. And tell him, I'm perfect. Well, that's not going to do any good. That just causes an argument. They'll go away laughing themselves to death about you. But when we talk to one another, why can't we say we're perfect? Do we do wrong? Yes, every day. Will we do wrong tomorrow? Yes. Will we do wrong right up to the change? Yes. Because we're human. But God don't look at that. Now, if he didn't look at it through the blood, come on. If he didn't look at it through the blood and see it, how much more through the eternal sacrifice, the Bible says? How much more through the revelation of Jesus Christ? Come on, Brother Boy. Come on, musicians. Are you perfect? Yes. Well, I've got to explain that now. You don't have to explain that to me. But now listen. If you tell me you're perfect and I see you live like the devil, something's wrong with your confession. It's not matching your body. For you to say how perfect you are and then continue on doing what you are, that's wrong. You're not perfect. Do you understand? When we find out we got wrong, we get rid of it. Because we make it disgrace to keep on doing it when we realize it's wrong to do it. Something wrong with our spirituality. Let's stand. What have we got?
204
Spiral Road. 204. Anybody have a need? Just think about perfection.
There is
coming a day when no heartache. Are you perfect in Jesus Christ? He said I was. The golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. When He takes me by. The Labby Grace has had problems with an old ear infection. It's been bothering her, and Anna's been having trouble with the same, with a sinus condition. Let's just believe and thank God for the healing. All right? Father, in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we lay hands upon our little sister, Lord, and upon Anna too, condemning this sickness under the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You said You made us perfect, so now we are perfect and complete in You. We love You, Father, and we thank You. In Jesus is Your name. Amen. The day. She wants to get that musical instrument. What a day that will be. Let's just send our sister standing for Sister Gail. She's been sick. We'll send a prayer cloth and believe, all right? Father, in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the one who died for us, the one who's made us perfect. Father, we say what You say. You said, by Your stripes, our sister was healed. We confess it. We believe it. We send this prayer cloth to show her we believe it. And Lord, just make it a manifestation. In Jesus' name. Just give that to Brother Dick. Anybody else? In the eye, all is peace forevermore. On that happy golden shore. What a day. And he jumps on you. Father, we condemn this hurting in our brother's ribs. But Father, he made a confession of what You had done. That by Your stripes he's healed. So now we just lay our hands upon our brother, Lord, upon his ribs, and we believe You that all is well. And we thank You. And Jesus is Your name. Amen. Just believe it. The day that will be. When my Jesus, do You believe? Do You believe what God has made you? He's made you perfect. And we can accept it. See if she'll accept the prayer. We believe it. Father, our sister has a desire for this one, Lord. So now You just reach down and touch, Father. We send a prayer cloth. All is well, and we believe You. And we thank You. In Jesus is Your name. Amen. Amen. Just go and believe it. A glorious day that will be. What a day that will be. Father, in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we send this prayer cloth for whatever need it is. We know that You've done it so many times before. We thank You for it. Already done, we believe You. In Jesus' name. Anybody else? glorious day. Be that for me. Do we believe it? Let's just sing, Ain't God Good. That'll be... Good. To give us so many blessings on this earth. Do you love Him? Look what He's done for us. Look what He's given us. Oh, Lord. Come on. Ain't God good? God good. To give us so many blessings undeserving. That's what we are. We ought to thank Him. Love and praise Him a little more today. Whole lot more tomorrow. Ain't God good? What has He done for us? I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Old things are passed away. I've been born again, right? More than a conqueror. That's what I am. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. What has He made us? We are heirs of the Father. We are joint heirs with the Son. We are people of His kingdom. We are a family. Sing it unto Him as you leave. Remember the service Wednesday night. Ain't God good? Father, just bless them. Everybody on the way home, give a safe journey. In Jesus' name. That's what we are.